Oscar M. Baker is speaking, and we are continuing our studies in Genesis. So far, we have covered 28 chapters. The story is an interesting one. There are some places in it where we'd rather not read, but then it's a reality. These are things that folks went through with and had experience with and so on, and they're profitable for us today. A little embarrassing almost sometimes to read these things, but nevertheless they're true. Now, Jacob had just gotten to Bethel and spent the night there with a stone under his pillow, and he'd had a great dream, ordinarily called Jacob's Ladder. And he said in verse 20, "If God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat, and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." Now Bethel means God's house, and he had called that this place that, because he realized that God had met him here. All right, now chapter 29. "Then Jacob went on his journey, and came into the land of the people of the east." Well now, I don't know whether this means he went into the east or not. For we must remember our geography a little bit. Remember that Abraham had spent 25 years at Haran with his father, till his father died. And he had kinfolks there and so on, and that is almost straight north of Bethel, up beyond Damascus. And this is where these people who came from the east were dwelling, some of Abraham's kin. So keep this in mind. He didn't go clear back to the land of the Chaldeans. That doesn't mean that. And if we keep this little piece of geography in mind, it'll help in subsequent events. "And he looked, and behold a well in the field. And lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth." Usually a well was covered so that animals and so forth couldn't get into it and pollute the water. And also sometimes to guard it from other folks making too free a use of it. "And thither were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled a stone from the well's mouth and watered the sheep." It says they, now it's just some people he met, but doesn't tell us yet who they are. "And a great stone was upon the well's mouth. And they put the stone again upon the well's mouth in its place." I missed that. "And Jacob said unto them, My brethren, whence be ye? And they said, Of Haran are we." So you're not very far from Haran. "And he said unto them, Know ye Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, We know him." Now, not exactly the son. It could be a grandson and so on. This word son is used pretty freely. We find that in different places here. And the word brother is also used rather freely, not exactly a blood or a close relationship with a brother, but it might be even a cousin or something. But there are brethren. That's the idea. "And he said unto them, Is he well? And they said, He is well. Behold, Rachel, his daughter, cometh with the sheep." There is the first time that we are introduced to Rachel. And she is tending sheep. I don't know just how come this comes this way. It seems to me that Laban had enough servants that he didn't have to have his daughters out doing the menial work of taking care of the sheep. Of course, poor folks in those days, the family did do the work and so on, sons and daughters work. They are hired help or whatever. But here's Rachel, and she's a younger daughter, remember, so it would be the younger ones do that. The firstborn, the oldest, always gets to stay at at home, it seems. So Rachel is doing this job that men should be doing. And he said, "Lo, it is yet high day. Neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep and go and feed them." And they said, "We cannot until all the flocks be gathered together, until they roll a stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep." Evidently, it took more than one to take the stone away from the mouth of the well. I suppose Rachel had to have a little help in cases like that. And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, and Jacob went near and rolled a stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Notice the emphasis here on his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel, lifted up his voice, and wept. He was glad to see some of the family and so on. He left home an outcast. His brother was after his life and so on. So Jacob was glad to find some friends and relatives. And it was a custom in the East to kiss upon meeting, so this is nothing unusual here. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother, and that it was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. So here he is making himself known. And it came to pass when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him, embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, "Surely thou art my bone and my flesh." And he abode with him the space of a month. So he had been welcomed in. And he's got a place to stay now at least, where he had left home an outcast and afraid of his brother. And Laban said unto Jacob, that is after the end of a month, "Because thou art my brother," and here this word is used loosely, "brethren, shouldst thou therefore serve me for naught?" Don't work for nothing. "Tell me, what shall thy wages be?" He wants to hire Jacob. Evidently, he stayed a month there, so he was ambitious at least. Jacob could work. He wasn't a lazy fellow by any means. And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, as had weak eyes. But Rachel was beautiful and well-favored, well-formed. And Jacob loved Rachel, now the younger, and said, "I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter." Must have thought quite a bit of her if he was going to work for 7 years for her. I wonder if he did any chores for her after he got her. Well, that's out of the line. And Laban said, "It is better that I give her to thee than I should give her to another man. But abide with me." "It's okay, well, that's a bargain." And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. This is one of the most beautiful love stories we have in the Bible. And Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her." And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter and brought her to him, that is to Jacob, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, for an handmaid. He's pulling a double cross on Jacob. It's Leah instead of Rachel. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, What is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve thee for Rachel? Wherefore hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, probably having her weak eyes, he was glad to get rid of her, marry her off. He said, It must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for thy service, which thou shalt serve me yet other 7 years. And Jacob did so, and fulfilled her week. And he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. Now, there's been some misunderstanding of people thinking that Jacob didn't get Rachel for wife until the end of 14 years, that he had to serve the other 7 years and then get her. But when we read this carefully, we'll see that he got both of them at once after the first 7 years, and then he worked another 7 years out for Rachel. And note in your companion Bible, the sons and daughters that were born during the first 7 years, and also after that. And so, that sort of settles the question. The way the Bible is translated here and so on leaves it a little bit ambiguous, and you're hard to tell which way it was. And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah. I'll get that a little bit better. And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. So you can see the sequence here. Well, if a man would love one wife more than the other, you can expect trouble. Well, with the handmaids, he had only 4 of them. Just think of some folks, even in the almost later days. Brigham Young had 26 wives. And if you read the life account of this, you'll find that there was plenty of strife, plenty of hatred and fighting among them. That's just an aside. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, Surely the Lord has looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. She sensed the fact that she was unloved. And that can be rather a source of much trouble to a woman, especially. Also with a man, to find that he is second in somebody's affections. And so here is the firstborn, Reuben, who should have been the heir of all things, being the firstborn, that we find that in later readings and so on, that these things are all turned topsy-turvy because of some of the behavior and the like of folks involved. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, Oh, the Lord has heard that I was hated. He hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. Or Reuben and Simeon. First two born. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, Now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. Now you'll notice in later history that of these 3 that Levi really had a place. Because from his tribe came the priesthood. But of the other 2, Reuben and Simeon, not much to be said. The kingship, the headship and so on should have come from Reuben. But we'll find later on it came from Judah and the kings of Israel, from Judah. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, Now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. So there we have the names. Verse chapter 30. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, Give me children or else I die. Well, that is very unreasonable. And of course, Jacob says so. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And he said, Am I in God's stead? Who hath withheld thee from the fruit of the womb? And she said, Behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her. And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife, and Jacob went in unto her. And Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, God has judged me, hath heard also my voice, and hath given me a son. Therefore calls she his name Dan. In my judgment, of all the 12 sons that Jacob had, I think Dan was the worst. And from his beloved wife and her firstborn. But Dan was the one tribe that really went into idolatry. And did some other things, which would come in history later on. And Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again, and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, With great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed, and she called his name Naphtali. Or some people spell Naphtali. That's where you put the emphasis. Well, when Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her to Jacob to wife. And Zilpah, Leah's wife, maid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, A troop cometh. And she called his name Gad. I don't know just all the meaning there of that troop cometh. Anyhow, she called his name Gad. Well, I was told when I was a youngster, women belong to the tribe of Gad, but it doesn't say so here. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. Leah said, Happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. Now, the family's growing up. Reuben is the oldest. He's getting to be a lad now. And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in a field and brought them to his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, Give me, I pray thee, thy son's mandrakes. Now that is something that grew out in the fields and usually was a branch root and kind of reminded them of a human form. From my experience and so on, that'd be about as near as anything to what we find, or did used to find in the woods here. It's practically all gone. Ginseng, which of course is a favorite with the Eastern folks, the Chinese, a medicine. And she said unto her, Leah talked to Rachel now, Is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband, and wouldst thou take away my son's mandrakes also? And Rachel said, Therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for my son's mandrakes. And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, Thou must come unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes, and lay with her that night. And God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob the fifth son. And Leah said, God has given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband, and she called his name Issachar. Issachar. Well, that's a rather strange name, too. And Leah conceived again, and bare Jacob the sixth son. And Leah said, God has endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him 6 sons. And she called his name Zebulun. And here are 6 that she has born. And Rachel hasn't had any children herself yet. And after she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. And that was pretty unfortunate, the story of Dinah. We'll get that someday. And God remembered Rachel. And God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son. And said, God has taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph. And said, the Lord will add to me another son. And it came to pass, when Rachel warned Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away, that I may go into mine own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children, for whom I have served, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done thee. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for thy sake. In other words, while Jacob was working for Laban this 14 years, Laban had gotten to be a wealthy man, and so did Jacob. Now, it's awfully hard for a man to have somebody working for him to really make it good, you know. And that's what Laban saw. I'm anticipating over here, I'm getting you prepared. Laban, of course, was glad to have his goods increase, certainly. But also, he wasn't so glad to see Jacob on the increase, his son-in-law, a servant, actually. A little jealous. And so there are things that come out of that. And Jacob thinks it's time for him to go home. Now, this is about 14 years here he served for the two. He's been away from home that long. That's quite a while to be away from the family and so on, not be able to see them. And quite likely, from what we read in this and so on, he hadn't even heard from them. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thy eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. In other words, Laban has realized the fact that God was with Jacob. And that's it. This all couldn't have come about, except that were true. And he said, appoint me thy wages. What do you take? I will give it. And he said unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee, and how thy cattle was with me, for it was little which thou hadst before I came. Laban, you weren't rich. It has now increased unto a multitude, and the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. And now when shall I provide for mine own house also? Well, he had been providing to quite an extent, but not like he's going to. And he said, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. If thou do this thing for me, I will again agree to feed and keep thy flock. And I will pass through all the flock today, removing thence all that are speckled and spotted cattle, all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and the speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. All are a little bit off color, so on, why, he says, I'll take those for his wages. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come for my hire before thy face, everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. In other words, he was not going to keep a one that was perfect in color and so on. That'd all be put in Laban's flock, and he'd take all the spotted and speckled and so on. Well, now that sounded all right. And of course, there was a good chance of Jacob having an increase, because his flock would increase, and they would have a tendency to bear alike what they were, and so most of the offspring would be imperfect in color. And of course, Jacob knew that. And Laban said, "Behold, I would it might be according to thy word." Okay, go ahead. And he, that is Jacob, removed that day the he-goats that were being streaked and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and every one that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, gave them into the hands of his sons. Now he's putting his sons to work, keeping the flocks. Remember later on, we come to the story of Joseph, that his sons had wandered quite a little way with the flocks, and evidently had gone into the town and painting the town red, as we sometimes say. And he sat 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. And Jacob took him rods of green poplar, and of the hazel and chestnut tree, and peeled white streaks in them, and made the white appear which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had peeled before the flocks in the gutters and the watering troughs, where the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flock conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle, ringstrakes, speckled and spotted. That's even among Laban's flock. He's getting this, not his own. Now he's doing something here. It doesn't look like it's just exactly right, doesn't it? He's going to fix it so that Laban's flocks will get all ring straight and striped, and he'll have the whole thing after a while if Laban isn't careful. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring straight and all the brown in the rock of Laban, in the flock of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves and put them out into Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. When the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly, and had much cattle, and maidservants, and manservants, and camels, and asses. Jacob really got rich. And of course, you can see that Laban is not going to be satisfied with that, because even though Jacob had caused him to become rich beyond anything he had ever done for himself, still he didn't like to see Jacob having the best of it. And that is human nature, isn't it? Chapter 31. And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, "Jacob hath taken away all of us our fathers. Now that which was our father hath he gotten all his glory." He overheard him talking about it, the sons of Laban. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, behold, is not toward him as before. And the Lord said unto Jacob, "Return unto the land of thy fathers, unto thy kindred, and I will be with thee." Now that'd be a few days' journey to the south to get back. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock. And he said unto them, "I see your father's countenance, that is not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. And ye know that with all my power I have served your father, and your father hath deceived me, and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me." Doesn't Jacob know he was at fault in this thing too? He doesn't tell his wives that anyhow. And he said thus, "The speckles should be thy wages." And all the cattle were bare speckled. And if he said thus, "The ringstrake should be thy hire," then all the cattle ringstraked. Thus God has taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived, I lifted up mine eyes and saw in a dream, behold, the rams who sleep upon the cattle ringstraked, speckled, and grizzled. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, Here am I. And he said, Lift up now thine eyes, and see, all the rams asleep on the cattle, ring straight, speckled, and grizzled, for I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, reminding Jacob of the years before. Where thou anointest a pillar, and where thou vowedest a vow unto me. Jacob, have you forgotten it? And now arise, get thee out from this land, and return to the land of thy kindred. Telling Jacob to go home. And Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, Is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Or do we come in? Are we not counted of him, strangers? For he has sold us. Yeah, for 14 years of labor on the part of Jacob, sold him. And hath quite devoured also our money. For all the riches which God hath taken from our father, that is ours, our children's. Now then, whatsoever God has said unto thee, do. Jacob, just use your own judgment now. But we've been left holding the sack. Sort of turning against their own father, aren't they? Well, which should they stick with, their husband or their father? That has always been a question, hasn't it? If there has to be a choice, should a woman choose to stay with her husband or go into her father? I won't answer that. Let you do that. Then Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives upon camels. And he carried away all his cattle, all his goods which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting, which he had gotten in Padan Aram, for to go to Isaac, his father, in the land of Canaan. And Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen images that were her father's. Evidently, Laban was still holding on to idolatry, even though he knew about the true God. And we have that yet today. There are a lot of people that join the church and they make all sort of professions and so on, and they still are serving the gods that they had before they had made any professions. They haven't changed their ways. That's a sad case. And Jacob stole away unawares to Laban, the Syrian, and they told him not that he fled. So he fled with all he had. And he rose up and passed over the river, the Euphrates, and set his face toward Mount Gilead, down in Canaan. And it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled. So he got in a 3 days' start, journey. Of course, now with all the flocks he had and so forth, he couldn't move too far in a day. We keep that in mind because that comes up. And he took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days' journey. And they overtook him at Mount Gilead. And that's where Jacob had headed for. And so they overtook him there. And God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream one night and said unto him, Take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. Then Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount. And Laban was his brethren pitched in the mount of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, What hast thou done? That thou hast stolen away unawares to me, and carried away my daughters as captives taken with the sword. Wherefore didst thou flee away secretly, and steal away from me, and didst not tell me, that I might have sent thee away with mirth, and with songs, with tabret, and with harp? And hast not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters, as be his grandsons? Thou hast now done foolishly in so doing. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. Laban says, I have the upper hand, I have the law on my side. But the God of your father spake unto me yesternight, saying, Take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob, either good or bad. And now, though thou wouldst needs be gone, because thou sore longest after all thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods? For he found out they were gone. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, Because I was afraid. Now that's the first part of the question. and went away afraid. For I said, peradventure thou wouldst take by force thy daughters from me. That Laban would take his daughters from him. With whomsoever thou findest thy gods, let him not live. Of course, Jacob didn't know anything about this. Before our brethren, discern thou what is thine with thee, and take it to thee. For Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen them. I don't know what Rachel is going to do with them. Is she going to worship these gods? Evidently. And Laban went into Jacob's tent, and unto Leah's tent, and unto the two maidservants' tents, but found them not. Then he went out of Leah's tent and entered into Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the images and put them in the camel furniture and sat upon them. And Laban searched all the tent, but found them not. And she said to her father, let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise up before thee, for the custom of women is upon me. And he searched, but found not the images. And Jacob was wroth, and he chode with Laban. Laban answered and said to Laban, and Jacob answered and said unto Laban, what is my trespass? What is my sin that thou hast so hotly pursued after me? Whereas thou hast searched all my stuff, what hast thou found of all my household's stuff? Set it here before my brethren and my brethren, that they may judge betwixt us both. This 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. That which was born of beasts, torn of beasts, I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. Of my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. And thus I was, in the days of the drought, in the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from mine eyes. Jacob is telling a little bit about some of the work he went through. Thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters, and 6 years for thy cattle. And thou hast changed my wages 10 times. Every time that Laban thought that Jacob was getting a little better at the deal, why, he'd make a little change in the way that they did the business. It always worked out to Jacob's gain. Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac, but for the God of Isaac, had been with me, surely thou hast sent me away now empty. God has seen mine affliction and the labor of my hands, and rebuked thee yesternight. And Laban answered and said unto Jacob, these daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children, and these cattle are my cattle, and all that thou seest is mine. And what can I do this day unto these my daughters, or unto their children, which they have borne? Now therefore, come thou, let us make a covenant, I and thee. And let it be for a witness between me and thee. And Jacob took a stone and set it up for a pillar. I want you to notice carefully what happens here, because this is very, very seldom understood. And Jacob said unto his brethren, gather stones. And they took stones and made up a heap. And they did eat there upon the heap. Used that for a picnic table. And Laban called it Jagar Sahadusa, but Jacob called it Galeed. And Laban said, this heap is a witness between thee and thee this day. Now they had been striving. Jacob has told Jacob what he could do. Therefore was the name of it called Galeed. And Mizpah, notice this word, how much is misunderstood. For he said, the Lord watch between me and thee when we're absent one from the other. Watch between them if they don't come together and get in a fight. They're making a truce here, a peace treaty. And Mizpah, the stone is set up as a witness to this treaty, that they won't hurt each other. And Laban said to Jacob, behold this heap, behold this pillar which I have cast betwixt me and thee. This heap be witness, and this pillar be witness, But I will not pass over this heap to thee, and that thou will not pass over this heap and this pillar unto me for harm. That's the boundary line. The God of Abraham and the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judged betwixt us. And Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. And Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount, and called his brethren to eat bread. They did eat bread and tarried all night in the mount. And early in the morning, Laban rose up and kissed his sons and his daughters and blessed them. And Laban departed and returned unto his place. Well, that was fairly long chapter. But I want you to note that Laban and Jacob did not depart from each other on too good of terms. Both of them felt that they had been cheated, I guess. Well, I still think that Jacob was pretty much at fault, the way he acted and so on. Now we'll just go on here for a little bit. We only have a few minutes. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. Now here's one of the big things that happens on these journeys. He first had a dream at Bethel. Now here's a flock of angels that meet him. And the next thing we have on is the wrestling. Keep those in line and in order. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of the place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother, unto the land of Seir, near Mount Seir, the country of Edom. And the country of Edom, well, that's not too far from the Dead Sea, if I remember right. And he commanded him, saying, "Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban, and stayed there until now. I have oxen and asses, flocks, and men servants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in this in thy sight." And the messenger returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." They didn't tell him what for. No idea what these men are to come with him, 400 men coming with him for. Whether he's going to get his vengeance now on Jacob for cheating him out of his birthright and of the blessing, Jacob doesn't know. But Esau is coming to meet him with 400 men. Wouldn't you like to be in his place? Not know just what's going to happen? And Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the peoples with him, and the flocks, and the herds, and the camels, into two bands, and said, "If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape." I think there's a good place for us to stop. Just leave it in a little suspense. Just finish verse 8, chapter 32 of Genesis. Dear Father, we do thank thee for thy word. For everywhere we open it, we come upon great truth. Find things that can apply to us today, that thy word is up to date. We're thankful for the message it has for us today, too. A greater message than these folks had. We have wonderful opportunities. And we do ask that thou open our eyes and guide us, that we may learn all the scriptures and what they mean, apply them to our own lives. Through Christ we ask it. Amen.